خسروا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء فاتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has made it possible for us to converge here today once more inshallah to continue to read and discuss the book Usul al-Sunnah by Imam al-Mubajjal, Imam Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, Imam Ahmad Abu Abdullah Ibn Muhammad Ibn Hanbal al-Shaybani rahimahullah. We had discussed the first 21 points in this treatise that has about 54 thereabouts number of points. And all the matters the Imam had raised in the last 7 to 8 points that we had looked at, they are matters that had to do with the hereafter. They are matters that had to do with Al-Qiyamah. Whether the Qiyamah was Al-Sughra or Al-Kubra, that is, whether the Qiyamah was Al-Sughra, minor Qiyamah, or whether the Qiyamah was major Qiyamah. The minor Qiyamah is the Qiyamah of each individual in the group. And that's why it's also referred to as Al-Qiyamatul Khafah, the one that is specific to every individual. So, or whether the Qiyamah is Amma or Kubra, that is major, or Amma, something that is general. Qiyamah, when everyone will be raised before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will come out of our graves. So these two issues had come in the last 6 or so number of points that the Imam had discussed in this book, Usul al-Sunnah. So from something similar to these matters of the hereafter, things that are referred to as, we can refer to as the precursors, the things that will happen, the precedences, the antecedents that are, the antecedents to the matters of the hereafter. Hereafter here meaning Al-Qiyamatul Kubra, the major hereafter, the major resurrection. There are some matters that it is when they occur, we know now that the major hereafter, the major resurrection is nearby. Because those matters will not occur except that, like some of the scholars of Usul al-Fiqh, they say that when the minor, the major signs, especially three of them, and that is the first one, Tulur al-Shams min Maghribiha, when the sun rises from its place of set, from its place of sunset, Khuruj al-Dajjal, when Dajjal appears, and the third one, Nuzul Isa alayhi salam, when Isa alayhi salam descends from the heaven, Allah will not accept the iman of anyone who had not had iman before. And Allah will not accept the tawbah of anyone who had not made tawbah before then. So ulama of usul say that it means that at that time there is no taklif. Because if there is taklif, they will be rewarded for either their iman or for their tawbah. Do we understand? The ulama say at that time there will be no taklif. Because if there is taklif, they will not be rewarded. They will not be denied the reward of their tawbah. or denied the reward of their iman. So situation will continue as the things are. So this is what some of the scholars have said. But the matter we are really to look at here is those, the major ones, one of which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described as the worst fitna ever in creation. The worst fitna ever to happen to mankind. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma bayna khalqi Adam ila qiyami sa'ati amrun akbar min dajjal." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that since the time Adam alayhi salam is created until the time that the last hour will come, there is no matter, there is no khalqun in some riwayat, there is no creation, there is nothing that is as great as the matter of Masih al-Dajjal. This is the greatest fitna that will happen to mankind. Today we'll read the 22nd point of this book that Al-Imam Abdus ibn Attar had reported from Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, that from what we must believe in as Muslims, that when we do not believe in them, the iman is not complete. The person cannot be said to be a mu'min as it should be. He said, "Wal iman anna al-masih ad-dajjal," and that we must believe, part of those things we must believe in as Muslims, that when we do not believe in them, the iman, the faith is incomplete. Is that anna al-masih ad-dajjal, is that surely or certainly al-masih ad-dajjal, which is usually translated as the Antichrist. We'll discuss it inshallah. We'll discuss al-masih, we'll discuss ad-dajjal, we'll discuss al-masih ad-dajjal inshallah. So the iman, we must believe that al-masih ad-dajjal, that this dajjal, al-masih, the messiah, dajjal, Messiah is translated as Al-Masih. But when it is called Al-Messiah, it's in the Greek form. Al-Masih, Arabic. We know that these languages are all Semitic. So they are close to themselves. So, but Masih here is the Masih Kazab. So in his case, it is referred to as Antichrist. That is anti-Messiah. Because, inshallah, we shall mention that if Allah permits. So the Muslim must believe that Al-Masih al-Dajjal kharijun, he will appear, maktubun bayna aynayhi kafirun, it will be written in between his two eyes, kafir. So the Muslim must believe that anna Al-Masih al-Dajjal kharijun, that Al-Masih al-Dajjal shall appear, maktubun bayna aynayhi, and that it is written in his face, in his forehead, what? Kafirun. Wal ahadith allati ja'at fihi, and that the ahadith, the narrations from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions that have been reported regarding it, we must believe them also. Wal imanu bi anna zalika ka'in, and we must have iman that this matter shall happen. The Muslims must believe that this matter shall happen as they have been reported from those ahadiths. I hope the matter is clear. The Imam said, rahimahullah, that wal imanu anna al-masih ad-dajjal kharijun, and that we must believe that the Masih Dajjal, that is Antichrist here, kharijun, will appear. We must believe. This belief is from those beliefs that we must not live out in our belief. No Muslim must live it out. So be rightly a Muslim mu'min, we must not leave this out. And he has been listing those matters. One of them is al-imanu bi anna al-masih ad-dajjal kharijun maktubun bayna aynayhi kafirun, that this dajjal shall appear, and what is written in between his eyes is what? The word kafir. He said, "Wal ahadith allati ja'at fihi." We must also be, yani, wal imanu bil ahadith. We must also have iman. We must also believe in the ahadith that have reported this matter. Wal imanu bi anna zalika ka'in. And then we must believe that it will happen as they have been reported. It will then require us to ask, what then does it mean when they say Al-Masih al-Dajjal? The ulama say Al-Masih al-Dajjal is just what we have heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his ahadith. One of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Umama al-Bahili, he reported that he said, خَطَبَنَا رَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ. One day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us a summon. He gave us an admonition. وَكَانَ أَكْثَرُ خُطْبَتِهِ عَنِ الدَّجَّالِ. And most of the khutab that he gives, most of his admonitions that he tells us about at the time was about Dajjal. He said, وَكَانَ أَكْثَرُ خُطْبَتِهِ. Most of what he was telling us at the time was regarding Al-Masih al-Dajjal. So it meant that the issue of al-Dajjal was a matter the Prophet ﷺ regularly repeated to the Prophet ﷺ, regularly repeated to the companions radiallahu anhu. He was always talking about it. He said, وَكَانَ أَكْثَرُ خُطْبَتِهِ عَنِ الدَّجَّالِ. He said, فَحَذَّرْنَاهُ. So because of that, we were afraid. We took care. We were careful. We were scared. In some ahadith, some of the companions reported that when the Prophet said that to them, when they go and come back to him, he will observe that they are scared. And he's asking them, why are you afraid? He said, what you told us about Dajjal yesterday, it makes us become afraid. Radiallahu anhu. He said, وَكَانَ مِنْ قَوْلِهِ. And from what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say about Al-Masih al-Dajjal is that, إِنَّهُ لَمْ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُنْذُ ذَرَأَ اللَّهُ ذُرِّيَّةَ آدَمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say that surely, certainly, there has not been any fitna, there has not been any trial or tribulation, so to speak, since when Allah set man on the surface of the earth and the children of Adam. Since Allah set us on the surface of the earth, there has not been any fitna, أَعْظَمُ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الدَّجَّالِ, that is as great as the fitna of Dajjal. So the greatest fitna that will happen to mankind is the fitna of Dajjal. لَعْنَةُ عَلَيْهِ. The ulama make la'an on Dajjal. So they said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى. And that surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا يَبْعَثْ نَبِيًّا إِلَّا حَذَّرَهُ أُمَّتَهُ. Allah never raised any prophet except that he warned his people regarding al-Dajjal. So wa inna Allah ta'ala lam yab'ath nabiyyan illa hazzarahu ummatahu. Allah never raised any prophet except that he warned his people regarding Dajjal. In other narrations, al-Imam al-Sakhawi, he has a book called al-Qana'atu fi ma yuhsin al-ihatatu an alamat as-sa'ah. He was mentioning some narrations in this book that even Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, who used to tell his people about Dajjal, he'd be warning them saying that someone is coming, his name is Dajjal. He will do so and so and so. He will do so and so and so. And he's a trial unto mankind. So the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Allah never raised a prophet except that he warned his people regarding Dajjal. He said, وَأَنَا آخِرُ الْأَنْبِيَا. And I'm the last of all the prophets. وَأَنْتُمْ آخِرُ الْأُمَمِ. And you people, you are the last of people. You are the last of community to be raised for mankind, having a prophet. He said, وَهُوَ خَارِجٌ فِيكُمْ. And there is no doubt, Dajjal shall come in your time. Because all the prophets, yes, they warned their people that Dajjal was coming. But there was another prophet that came at their time. So it meant that the world was not going to end at their time, even when they warned Dajjal. So Nuh warned his people, Dajjal didn't come. Ibrahim alayhi salam warned his people, Dajjal did not come. Musa alayhi salam warned his people, Dajjal did not come. Isa alayhi salam warned his people, Dajjal did not come. Now Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is your time that he will come, surely. He said, fa in yakhruj wa ana bayna azhurikum. If he appears and I'm amongst you, fa ana hajijun li kulli muslimin. I'm going to defend every Muslim. But he said, وَإِنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَعْدِي. But in case he came after I had left, فَكُلُّ مْرِئٍ حَجِيجُ نَفْسِهِ. Every person will be a defender of himself. If he came while I was around, I will defend you. But if he came when I was already gone, everyone is a defender of himself. He said, وَاللَّهُ خَلِيفَتِي عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. I make Allah a caretaker for every Muslim. That is, I put you under the care of Allah.
So the fitna is so much of a great one that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I was there, I will defend you. But if I'm not there, let everyone take care of himself. May Allah protect you. The Prophet said so to us. He said, Ya ibadallahi fasbutu, O servants of Allah, stand firm, be steadfast. Be steadfast upon your deen. In case you came and I'm not there, be steadfast. Let everyone be steadfast on his deen. So when the ulama mentioned subulun najat min fitnati dajjal, the means of being saved, the means to salvation when dajjal will appear, the first thing they mention is al-ithbat al-deen. Being steadfast, al-istiqama al-deen. Being steadfast upon the deen itself. It's one of the makharij from the fitna of dajjal. It's one of the means, ways out from the trials of Dajjal. We are mentioning this because we may not have the time to start mentioning the subulun najat. If Dajjal appears now, how will people be saved? It is necessary that we know about it. So the Prophet was repeating all this to the companions, radiallahu anhu. So this makes us understand the greatness of the trial of the Messiah, Dajjal. That hadith we read was reported by Imam Ibn Majah and Abu Dawud. Also the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, one of his companions, An-Nawas ibn Sam'an, radiallahu anhu, he reported that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, said, Zakara Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam ad-dajjala zata gadat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one morning mentioned the matter of Masih al-Dajjal. فَحَفَّضَ فِيهِ وَرَفَّعَ. As he spoke, sometimes he would speak in low tones, and sometimes he would raise his voice when he spoke about Dajjal. حَتَّى ظَنَنَّهُ فِي طَائِفَةِ النَّخَلِ. We were so scared that we thought that Dajjal was already under one of the shades of the palm trees behind us. So the way he talked about it, we thought that once we look back, we'll see Dajjal under the tree. So the Prophet spoke regarding Dajjal to the companions as a matter as if once they sleep and wake up the next day, they are going to meet Dajjal. So they considered the coming of Dajjal something that is very, very close by them, that they are not to neglect, and in preparation for which they have to stand firm regarding their deen. You know, he had said, Ya ibadallahi fasbutu. O servants of Allah, stand firm. So the companions were waiting that Dajjal was coming. Well, I'm sure today many of the Muslims are not expecting Dajjal. But the companions were waiting. If he came, we are going to have to be prepared, despite all what the Prophet ﷺ has said. But that is the sabil, the path, the way out is to be firm upon the deen. We are going to be firm upon the deen. So they were waiting for Dajjal, radiallahu anhu. Also, to make us understand the greatness of the trial of Dajjal, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never perform any salah except that he sought the isti'adha, refuge from Allah against al-Masih al-Dajjal. Each time he performs salah, he will seek refuge against the fitna of Dajjal. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhab al-qabri wa a'udhu bika min fitnati Masih al-Dajjal wa a'udhu bika min fitnati al-mahya wal-mamat wa a'udhu bika min al-ma'sami wal-maghram. The Prophet will say this in his salawat. He will not make taslim except that he sought Allah's refuge from the fitna of Dajjal. This makes us understand that the fitna is going to be a great one. May Allah save us from it. And that was why Aisha radiallahu anha and other companions have reported that the Prophet used to do so whenever he was making tashahud in his salah. The ulama say actually that was the same feeling the tabi'un and those who came after them had regarding al-Masih al-Dajjal. Al-Imam Abdul Rahman ibn Muhammad al-Maharibi, one of the scholars amongst the tabi'un, he said that يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُدْفَعَ إِلَى الْمُؤَدَّبِ الْأَبْنَى. It is necessary that those who teach children, it is very, very necessary that they are paid لِيُعَلِّمَهُ السِّبِيَانَ فِي الْكُتَّابِ, so that he will teach the children in the kutab, in the nursery schools, so to speak, the places where children go to learn the Quran are referred to as kutab. In the ulama, their culture is that a child does not go there until he is 5 years old. So al-Imam Abdul Rahman ibn Muhammad al-Maharibi was saying that يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُدْفَعَ إِلَى مُؤَدَّبِ الْأَبْنَاءِ لِيُعَلِّمَهُ السِّبِيَانَ فِي الْكُتَابِ. It is very important that the teacher is paid specially. Yes, he's to teach them the Quran, but he should be paid so as to teach the children regarding the Dajjal. He should be paid specially, like the special classes they should have should be on Dajjal. The children should be told regarding Al-Masih al-Dajjal. Also, Al-Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, he said, كان السلف يستحبون أن يلقن الصبيان الأحاديث. He said, the Salaf, the past predecessors, rahimahumullah, they recommend that the children are made given talqeen. Say Dajjal, the child should say Dajjal. Masih al-Dajjal kazzab. Masih al-Dajjal kazzab. Antichrist, the liar. The children should be given talqeen. Talqeen is say and you say after me. The children should be made to repeat after the teachers the ahadith regarding al-Masih al-Dajjal. He said, لِيَحْفَظُوهَا وَتَرَفَّخَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ, so that they can memorize it and it can be enmeshed in their hearts that there is something called al-Masih al-Dajjal. Al-Imam al-Nawawi said so. Al-Imam Abdul Rahman ibn Muhammad was saying that it is necessary that the teacher is paid to do so. Al-Imam al-Nawawi now told us that yes, they do so. The Salaf used to do so. They used to teach their children and make the child to repeat many times the ahadith regarding al-Masih al-Dajjal. I'm sure many of the parents today are more busy on how their children can pass physics exams and chemistry rather than how they are going to know who al-Masih al-Dajjal is. Allah Almighty. So this is the case, and this is how serious the fitna of al-Masih al-Dajjal is. So what Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal is saying here is that we must believe that al-Masih al-Dajjal kharijun, he will appear, maktubun bayna aynayhi kafirun. So this implies that al-Masih al-Dajjal, one of his attributes, will come there inshallah. But before that, the name itself, al-Masih al-Dajjal. The first word, Al-Masih, the ulama, some of them have mentioned more than 23 meanings from the scholars. Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi in his book, At-Tadhkira, he had mentioned, quoting the ulama differently, 23 different meanings for the word linguistically, Al-Masih. What does it mean? But from it, one of what he gave preference to, alayhi rahmatullah, was that he said, Al-Masih, wakila lid-dajjal. That it is said that regarding Dajjal, that he is al-Masih li sayahatihi. He is al-Masih because of his movements all around. Wa huwa fa'il bi ma'na fa'il. It came, al-Masih came with the wazn, with the measure fa'il bi ma'na fa'il. It came with the ma'na, it came with the wazn of fa'il, that is Masih, lakin the meaning and its implication here is that of what? Fa'il. So he said that is what it means, that he is referred to as al-Masih because of his word as-sayaha, his movement all around the place. He said, يَقْطَعُ جَمِيعَ الْبِلَادِ كُلَّهَا. He is going to go all over the cities and all over the towns. Al-Masih al-Dajjal will go everywhere. فِي أَرْبَعِينَ يَوْمًا إِلَّا مَكَّةَ وَالْمَدِينَةِ. He will do that in 40 days, except Makkah and Medina. These are the two places he will not go to. 40 days, 40 days of Dajjal. Do we understand? 40 days, 40 days of Dajjal. Because if we calculate the number of days based on the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a Dajjal will spend, there will be a total of 493 days that he will spend. But those 493 days are his 40 days. Because a day will be like a year, another one will be like a month, another will be like a week, another like that. So we'll come to that hadith inshallah if Allah gives us the opportunity. So some of the scholars say that he is referred to as al-Masih because he is able to move all around the place. Lakin al-Imam ibn Asir, rahimahullah, he said, Sumi ad-Dajjalu Masihan, that ad-Dajjal was named Masih. لِأَنَّ إِحْدَيْ عَيْنَيْهِ مَمْسُوحَةٌ, because one of his two eyes is what? مَمْسُوحَة, is an eye that has lost the power of an eye. مَمْسُوحَة is مَسْح, the light that emanates from the eye, the light with which the eye sees, is lost in the eye. So the eye is practically not an eye. And that's why we read in some narrations, we mention that if Allah gives us the opportunity, that he is awarul aynain. In some ahadith they say awarul yameen. It is the right eye that he has problems with. In some ahadith we read that it is the left eye that he has the problems with. The ulama say he has problems with the two eyes. Alayhim rahmatullah. He has problems with both his right eyes and he has problems with his left eyes. But each of the eyes have different kinds of problems. So one of them is mamsuh. Yes, it is appearing opened, but it is not visible. It is not effective as an eye. So some of them say that he is named Al-Masih because of that problem. And they refer to the hadith in Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that inna dajjala mamsuhul ayn, that dajjal is someone whose eyes is mamsuh. The eye is there, but it's ineffective. That hadith is in Sahih Muslim. So many of the scholars have given these two meanings strength. Some say that he's Al-Masih because of his sayaha, he's moving all around the place. And some say no, he's Al-Masih because one of his eyes is an eye that is what? Ineffective. I hope we understand that. So each of them is what the scholars have mentioned. So that's regarding the word Al-Masih. Some of them even say that Al-Masih is Al-Mudil, one who misleads the people. And that there are two kinds of Masih. Al-Masihul Huda wal-Masihul Dalala. The one who leads people unto goodness, and that is Al-Masih Isa ibn Maryam. And the one who leads people unto misguidance, and that is Al-Masih Al-Kazzab Al-Dajjal. Do we understand? Different kinds of meaning like that they have given to that word, Al-Masih. The word Al-Dajjal is picked from the word Dajjala. And Dajjala amongst the Arabs is a word that also has various meanings. But from the most popular of them, is like kazab. So if they say dajala, they meant that kazaba. If they say dajala, they meant that he lied, kazaba. They also meant that idda, someone claims what he is not. So a dajjal is someone mudda'i, someone who lays claim to something that does not really belong to him. And that's why the ulama also mentioned that the word Dajjala is used amongst the Arabs. If a camel has an illness on the skin, such that the skin is opened and it is looking very ugly on all around the face, there are some materials that they will burn to ashes and place on that area. So that problem area, if the problem area is a defect on the camel, you are going to see it like beautification. So they say they make Dajjal, they make Dujla. What they put there is referred to as a Dujla. So they say Dajjala. Yeah, that is, they make what is actually bad look nice and attractive. So, and that is actually how Dajjal is. He will make what is really and extremely bad, he will make it look what? Interesting and nice. And that's why when some of the scholars say that we are in the ashru of Dajjal, what they meant in this their statement is that we are in the ashru where this is why advertisement is on the screen now. The better your advertisement, the better your product in the mind of the people. But in the reality, it may not be the case. So if you somewhere well painted, look at the banks. One of the worst places someone can go into is a bank, especially the river-based bank which we operate popularly in our country here. It's one of the worst places human beings can go to. But in the sites today, it's one of the most beautiful places and most attractive places people like to go into. Such that they even have instruments inside the bank that when people go into the bank, they don't like to come out. Like the women who expose parts of their body. So even people outside, their minds are in the banks. Their minds are in there. So this is part of making at Dujul, this part of Dajajila, because the jamu of Dajjal is Dajajila or Dajjalun. Ulama said the person who said the jamu should also be Dajajila is Al-Imam Malik ibn Anas. So we also use Dajajila as the plural of the word Dajjal. But what was common before him was that they said they used the word Dajjalun. Don't forget the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that some people will come after him that they will claim prophethood. He said, "Humud Dajjalun kazzabun." So that makes us understand that Dajjal here is someone who lays claim to prophethood, a liar. Do we understand? But Al-Imam Malik makes us understand that the word Dajjalila can also be used as a plural for the word Dajjal. And the ulama have used it over time. So this is Dajjal, Al-Masih, Dajjal, the liar. So the ulama say, أصبحت الكلمة علما على المسيح الأعور الكذاب. But the word now has become a noun that is common with no one but Al-Masih, Dajjal. So if you say Dajjal now, nobody is thinking about anything except someone that will come at the end of time, regarding whom the Prophet ﷺ had mentioned to us. So he's Dajjal, Mudda'i Nubuwah wal Ilahiyyah. He's Dajjal, the liar, who is going to claim that he's a prophet, who is also going to claim being Allah, أعوذ بالله. وَخُرُوجُهُ مِنْ أَكْبَرِ عَلَامَاتِ السَّاعَةِ. And his appearance is from the greatest of the signs of the last hour. May Allah save us from his fitna. From the attributes of Al-Masih al-Dajjal is what Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal has mentioned in this book. He said, مَكْتُوبٌ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ كَافِرٌ. Al-Masih al-Dajjal has written on his, in between his eyes, the word kafir. And some riwayat in Sahih Muslim, written بين عينيه, written in between his two eyes, كافٌ فافٌ راءٌ. Kafun, fafun, ra'un. So kafun, fafun, and ra'un is written. And in some narration, we see it written generally as the word kufar. Is it going to be kafun, fafun, ra'un? Is it going to be actually kufar? Allah knows best. But there is no way it can come. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes us understand that he is shabun. Dajjal is a youth. He's a young man. Shab. This makes us understand that the claim of the Gulamist, the Qadianiyun, that Dajjal is a train that has a large lamp in front of it showing the way to the people driving or whatever, pulling the train, is a lie. Because the Prophet referred to it as what? Shabun, a young person. So, but they refer to, because in their belief, they believe that Isa alayhi salam is dead. So because they believe that Isa alayhi salam is dead, they have to look for a way of making ta'wil, explaining out all the narrations that makes us understand that Isa alayhi salam will come. So from those ta'wilat al-batila is that they say that Al-Masih Dajjal is not really a person, but a time, and that he symbolizes good and evil, some evil. It is a symbol of evil, that is not really a person. But everything that has to do with evil has to do with Dajjal. This is what they say. But this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that shab is a young person, a man, because the Prophet will not refer to a train as shab, as a human being. So the Prophet mentioned that. So it makes us understand that what they say is no other than something that's not acceptable. He also said about him sallallahu alaihi wasallam that qatatun, he is qatatun, sha'ruhu qasiru jad. His hairs are not long, but they are thick. He has very short, but very thick hairs. He's a young person. He has hairs that are thick, and they are not long. These are from the attributes of Dajjal. He said, La yuladu lahu. He will not have a child. This is known from the hadith of Ibn Sayyad, Abdullah Ibn Sayyad al-Ansari. One of those persons that the companions thought that he was Dajjal. People like Umar ibn al-Khattab, people like Abdullah ibn Umar, people like Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, people like Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, people like Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, we are swearing by Allah that they believe that Ibn Sayyad, Abdullah ibn Sayyad al-Ansari was Dajjal. If we have the opportunity, we'll talk about Ibn Sayyad. So it was when one of the companions, that was Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, he performed Umrah with Abdullah ibn Sayyad. Abdullah ibn Sayyad was a Jew. Actually, he was a fortune teller. He was a fortune teller that, you know, upon whose tongue jinns spoke. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to the most authentic opinion from the scholars, did not have any wahyu to make him understand whether Ibn Sayyad was actually the Dajjal or he was not the Dajjal. So the Prophet did not know. So when the information actually spread that Ibn Sayyad is Dajjal and all this because of some of the attributes that he displayed, the Prophet went to him and was querying him to know so that he can also understand from the way and what he says and all this that he's Dajjal. And that was why the day that Umar radiallahu anhu was there when the Prophet was querying him, the Prophet asked him, Atashhadu anni Rasulullah. He said, Ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. He said, the Prophet asked him, do you testify that I'm a prophet of Allah, a messenger of Allah? He said, yes, I testify that I'm a prophet and a messenger of Allah. He asked the prophet also, Atashhadu anni Rasulullah. Do you testify that I'm a messenger of Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned away from him and said, Amantu billahi wa rusulihi. I believe in Allah and his messengers. He did not say anything to Ibn Sayyad. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, should I cut off his head there? His own. Rabiallah, should I cut off his head? You are talking, he is also talking. Should I cut off his head? The Prophet ﷺ now told Umar ibn al-Khattab, if he is actually Dajjal, you will not be able to cut off his head. And if he is not Dajjal, your cutting off his head has no benefit. So this makes us understand that the Prophet was not on clear knowledge, especially clearly whether Ibn Sayyad, Abdullah ibn Sayyad, was Dajjal or not. Some other things happened later that made us understand that Ibn Sayyad, Abdullah ibn Sayyad al-Ansari, was not actually al-Masih al-Dajjal. We'll mention some of those things, inshallah, as we proceed. So it was when the companion Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, Ibn Sayyad, gave him some drink to drink. And he refused to drink because he was afraid that he was al-Masih al-Dajjal. How can I accept something from Dajjal? So he was trying to convince him that I'm not Dajjal. Did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not say that Al-Masih al-Dajjal will not have a child, but have children? So it is from here that we understand that, it means that the Prophet had told the companions that Ibn Sayyad was, Dajjal would not have a child. Because Ibn Sayyad was trying to say that he is not Dajjal. So, and one of the reasons, evidences he was using to establish that he's not Dajjal was the fact that if he was Dajjal, he would not have a child. Because Dajjal would not have a child. So he was telling the companion that, were you not aware that the Prophet said that Dajjal would not have a child? And I have children. Actually, one of the children of Ibn Sayyad is one of the eminent teachers of Al-Imam Malik. He was an eminent tabi'i from the Madaniyun. One of the children of Abdullah ibn Sayyad was a tabi'i and one of the teachers of Al-Imam Malik ibn Anas. So what is correct, because we may never have the time to come back to it, is that Ibn Sayyad was not Al-Masih al-Dajjal. As we go along, whenever we come across what makes us understand also that Ibn Sayyad was not Dajjal, we'll mention it inshallah. So the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is a'waru aynan, that his two eyes are defective. When they say a'waru, it means an eye that is defective. When someone has any of his eyes, any one of them defective, then that eye is a'waru. So it can be a'waru al-ayn or a'waru al-aynayn. It can be have the two, one of the eyes defective or the two eyes defective. So Dajjal had two eyes defective. And the defects in the two eyes, one of them was that one of the eyes does not see. The eye is just there as an eye, and it is protruded like a grape, like something roundish. It is protruded like that. It doesn't see. But on the second eye, the eye is actually blind, and above it are what? Fingernails that are protruded. So the two eyes are like that. One eye is not protruded, it's smallish, completely blind, but having two nails, fingernails coming out of it. The other is actually opening as an eye, but does not see, and it is all protruded. So it is that which is protruded that is referred to as his eye. Because yes, it actually is an eye that's open, but it does not value and act like an eye. So he has problems with his two eyes. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that regarding the fact that in between the two eyes, the word kafir will be written. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yaqra'uhu kullu mu'minin katibun wa ghayru katibin." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that every believer in Allah will read on the forehead of Dajjal kafir, whether the person had learned how to read or not. Whether the person went to school or not, he will be able to read on the foreheads of Al-Masih al-Dajjal that he is a kafir. Allah Almighty. So, وَقَدْ لَكِيَهُ أَحَدٌ مِّنْ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. One of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Ruqayyah, Tamim ibn Aus al-Dari, had actually met Al-Masih al-Dajjal. Tamim ibn Aus al-Dari actually met Al-Masih al-Dajjal. When he met him, he was a Christian. And by the time he left from that journey, where he went and he met Dajjal, he came to become a Muslim. Because one of the advices of Al-Masih Dajjal to those 30 of them who were on that trip was that it would have been better that the Arabs accept the message of Muhammad. He asked them regarding the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He asked them, are the Arabs fighting him? Inshallah, we'll come to that. So Al-Masih Dajjal had been met by the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a very, very lengthy hadith. This hadith made Tamim ibn Awsin to be someone from whom the Prophet narrated hadith. Do we understand? Because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the riwayah of Fatima bint Qais, she said that the Prophet announced that people should come to the masjid. And they came to the masjid. They performed salah. The Prophet stood up and smiled and said, let everyone remain where at the position where he performed his salah. He said, فَإِنَّ التَّمِيمِ. He said, because Tamim, ja'ani wa aslama wa bay'a, he came unto me and became a Muslim and then took oath of allegiance of obedience with me. He was going to obey me. He became a Muslim and took oath of allegiance. فَحَدَّثَنِي بِالْأَحَادِيثِ. And he gave me narrations. كُنْتُ أُحَدِّثُكُمْ عَنِ الْمَسِيحِ الدَّجَّالِ. He gave me narrations about which I used to narrate to you about Masih al-Dajjal. They coincided with what I used to narrate to you regarding al-Masih al-Dajjal. Ulama say this is mentioning that the Prophet Haddatha and Tamim. The Prophet gave narrations reporting from Tamim. Do we understand? What is common is that people should narrate narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, but Tamim was a man from whom the Prophet narrated narrations. If you read the book Tahzib al-Kamal of Hafiz al-Mizzi, when they write the names of those from whom a scholar has reported hadith and those from who reported from that scholar, when they mention those, the students, so to speak, those who reported a hadith from Tamim, one of those who reported a hadith from Tamim was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So say, haddatha anhu rasul. The Prophet narrated from him, from Tamim. He gave a very lengthy story that they were traveling in the sea and there was perhaps cyclone on the sea and their boat was moving here and there until it got to an island. They didn't know where what the island is, where they were. They just knew that they were upon an island. So as they rested, an animal came to them referred to as Jassafa. He said this Jassafa is Ahlab. Kathir al-Sha'ar is a huge creature with a lot of hair on itself. La yudra ma kubuluhu min duburihi. His frontal part is not differentiated from his back. Everywhere is hair. He said, they asked him, Waylaka ma anta, wo betide you, what are you? And he said to them, Anna Jassafa, I am Jassafa. That's what he referred to himself. That's why sometimes this hadith is referred to as what? Kisatul Jassafa. He said he was Jassafa. Qalat ayyuha al-qawm, O people. They ask him also, what are you doing here? So he said to them, ayyuha al-qawm, intaliku ila hadha al-rajul fid-dair. He said, go to that man, a dair. The ulama say it is like a kanisa, a place where rabbis and monks worship. So if it is within the city, they refer to it as Kanisa. If it is in extreme places, maybe inside the hills or something, they are referred to as what? A Dair. So he was, because it was on an island where perhaps nobody lived except himself and Jassafa. So it was referred to as Dair. So Jassafa said to them that, look, don't disturb me. Go and meet that creature, that human being, that is inside there. He said, فَإِنَّهُ إِلَىٰ خَبَرِكُمْ بِالْأَشْوَاقِ. He is the one who is interested in listening to you. Tamim said, لَمَّا سَمَّتْ لَنَا رَجُلًا فَرَّقْنَا مِنْهَا أَنْ تَكُونَ شَيْطَانًا. When he said to us that we should go and meet a rajul, a human being, we were afraid, we ran away from him because perhaps he could be a jinn. Because he said, go and meet a human being. So perhaps he is not a human being. So he said, we ran away. We left him and we went to the place where he said we should go to. He said, when they got there, فَإِذَا هُوَ أَعْظَمُ إِنسَانَ رَأَيْنَاهُ خَلْقًا وَأَشَدُّ وَسَّاقًا. When we got there, I found the greatest creature that I have ever seen. The name said, he found the greatest creature he had ever seen. And the most tied on the ground. Because in this narration, he reported that his hands were tied to his neck. And the legs all were tied to his waist. So he was tied on the ground. Al-Masih al-Dajjal. So he started to ask them different questions. From the questions that he asked them, he said to them, اخبروني عن النبي الأميين. Give me information regarding the prophet of those who cannot write. Give me information regarding the prophet of those people who can only read what is right. Because ummi does not mean that the person cannot read. But ummi is that the person cannot write. It doesn't mean that he cannot read what is written. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a Nabi at the time of those people. They could not write, many of those. وَالَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ. So he was asking them that they should give him the information regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَا فَعَلَ. Tell me, what is he doing? So they said to him, قَدْ خَرَجَ مِن مَكَّةَ وَنَزَلَ يَثْرِبَ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has emerged from Mecca. And right now he's resident in Yathrib, Medina. And he said, أَقَاتَلَهُ الْعَرَبُ. Are the Arabs fighting him? They said, yes, Arabs are fighting him. And he said to them, إِمَّا إِنْ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ لَهُمْ أَنْ يُطِعُوهُ وَإِنِّي مُخْبِرُكُمْ عَنِّي. He said, what is most appropriate is that أَنْ يُطِعُوهُ. They should obey that prophet. وَإِنِّي مُخْبِرُكُمْ عَنِّي. Okay, right now I'm going to tell you about myself. إِنِّي أَنَا الْمَسِيحُ الدَّجَّالِ. Surely, I am Al-Masih al-Dajjal, and I will soon be permitted to come out. My time is still coming up. I will soon be told to come out. So this narration, when the Prophet, when Tamim and those 29 others came back from that trip, he narrated to the Prophet, he became a Muslim, and narrated to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet called the people to the masjid and told Tamim that what you narrated to me, narrate it to the people. So, but because before that incident, the Prophet had always been telling the people about it. At the end of it, the Prophet said, is there anything he's told you now about Dajjal that I have never told you about? There are so many lessons in this hadith. One of it is that it establishes the prophethood of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because before that time, before Tamim saw Dajjal, the Prophet had been telling them about Dajjal, about everything that Tamim ibn Auf now came to say, Dajjal is like this, his eyes are like this, it is written on his head, kafir, and all this. They did not know that, except through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then, as mentioned again by Tamim, who met Al-Masih Dajjal. Another lesson from that is that because all those revelation that Allah gave to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding Al-Masih al-Dajjal that he told to the people, they are not in the Quran. Are they in the Quran? They are not in the Quran. But it's in perfect conformance with what is reported by the person who met Dajjal. It meant that besides the revelation of the Quran, the Prophet was receiving another revelation, but apart from the Quran. Do we understand? That besides the Quran, the Prophet had another wahyu that he receives, apart from the wahyu of the Quran. So there are two forms of wahyu. Al-wahyu al-matlu, that is the wahyu that we recite in acts of worship. Wal-wahyu ghayru matlu. And the wahyu that we do not recite in acts of worship. These are ahadith. This makes us understand that those narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ma yantiku anil hawa, in huwa, إلا وحي يوحى. That hadith was reported by Al-Imam Muslim and others amongst the scholars of hadith. All these ahadith about Al-Masih al-Dajjal makes us understand that the fact that Dajjal will come is a reality. And it has proven the point that we are reading here. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said, rahimahullah, that والإيمان أن المسيح الدجال خارج مكتوب بين عينيه كافر. All those ahadith prove this point, that المسيح الدجال, part of what we must believe is that المسيح الدجال خارج, he will appear, مكتوب بين عينيه كافر, and it will be written before his on his forehead, كافر. والأحاديث التي جاءت فيه, we must also believe on the narrations that reports the matters of Al-Masih al-Dajjal, like all these ahadith. Ulama say, the ahadith that report the coming of the emergence of Al-Masih al-Dajjal, they are mutawatir. That is a hadith that is reported by a large number of people in every stage of the report until those who wrote down the report. Some of the scholars have written books specifically on the emergence of Al-Masih al-Dajjal. So Al-Masih al-Dajjal shall emerge. He shall come. We believe in it, that Al-Masih al-Dajjal shall come. And that is different from what some of the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiyyah and the Khawarij believe. These three sets of people do not believe in the emergence of Al-Masih al-Dajjal. So every person, Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, must believe that Al-Masih al-Dajjal kharijun, he shall emerge. And we believe in all the ahadith regarding it as they have come. They said kafir was written on his head. Yes, kafir was written on his head. Say human being. Yes, say human being. He shall say the sun, the moon, the rain should fall in places where there are no rainfall, and people will say yes. Everything that's described about Masih al-Dajjal, we believe it as they are said in those narrations. The next point, he said, وَالْإِيمَانُ بِأَنَّ ذَلِكَ كَائِنٌ, that we must believe that this matter shall happen as they have been reported. You see, the reason, or one of the reasons, Allahu A'lam, that would have necessitated the mention of the fact that after the fact that we believe in the hadith, we also believe that the issues shall happen as is reported in those narrations, is that some of the people will accept the hadith, that they are authentic, that they are from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they will interpret the hadith away from its apparent meaning without any evidence to show that this has to be interpreted like this. So, and in the end, you find that they are, by their reinterpretation of those narrations, they are already denying one or two facts that are established in those narrations. So we say we believe in those things, that they will happen as they have been said in those narrations. I give an example. Most of those who are engaged in what they refer to as comparative religion today, they have this problem. And that has to do with the second matter, but it is a matter that is linked with the appearance of Dajjal. Because Dajjal will be put to extinction by Nabi Isa alayhi salam. So let's read the next point. I will mention those group of people and their facade they cause regarding this matter. This point number 22. That وَأَنَّ عِيسَى إِبْنُ مَرْيَمْ عليه السلام ينزل فيقتله بباب اللد. Said, وأن عيسى بن مريم عليه السلام ينزل فيقتله بباب اللد. And that we believe, or that we must believe, that Isa عليه السلام, the son of Maryam, who was given back to Maryam without the intercession of a father عليه السلام, ينزل, he will descend. You see, for Dajjal, he used the word يخرج خارج, so he's going to appear. But for Isa alayhi salam, he used what ينزل, he's going to descend. So Isa alayhi salam will come from the heavens. And right now, Masih Dajjal is on the surface of the earth. Do we understand? From that hadith of Tamim. So he is already on the earth. He will appear خارج. But for Isa alayhi salam, huwa ينزل, he will come from the heavens. He's in the first heaven, as the Prophet told us in so many other ahadith. He met him, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he went for Isra and Miraj. And he was from amongst those who prayed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam in Dimashq, in Masjid al-Aqsa. And that's why people like Al-Imam al-Zahabi have mentioned that Isa alayhi salam is one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this earth. He believed in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prayed behind him. So, and the shirt of being a companion is meeting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, believing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and dying upon that. And we have narrations also from Wahyu that makes us understand that Isa alayhi salam will die upon Islam. In fact, we rule based on the Sharia of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the Akhiru Zaman when he comes. This makes us understand that yes, he fulfills all the conditions of being a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And many of the scholars like Al-Imam Ibn Salah and Al-Hafiz Al-Iraqi, if you read the book At-Taqid Wal-Idah, which is a sharh of the book Ma'rifatul Hadith, of Ulum al-Hadith of Imam Ibn Salah by Al-Hafiz al-Iraqi, we see this discussion, very lengthy discussion on, is Isa alayhi salam actually a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And what is most established is that Isa alayhi salam is a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ulama also say that, what about the angels who saw the Prophet in Al-Isra wal-Miraj? They say, yes, the angels, they are not part of those who have taklif like we have. Do you understand? Like if you want to say, are the angels going to die as Muslims or they are going to die? That's, these questions is gay reality. It does not come up because they are Muslims and they are going to die as Muslims. They serve Allah. So it doesn't matter to them whether they met the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or they didn't meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you understand? So they are not to be counted as amongst those that whether to be considered whether they were companions of the Prophet or not. Because companionship of the Prophet is based on accepting or rejecting Iman. And they don't have that choice. They are already Muslims. Do we understand? And they are not human beings. They are not under our taklif. They are not under what we are under regarding being legally responsible. So they are not included. So Isa alayhi salam shall descend, that فَيَقْتُلُهُ بِبَابِ الْلُّدْرِ, and he shall kill al-Masih al-Dajjal at a place called at the doorpost of the city of Lud. The ulama say this place is around Sham. Sham comprises of about four countries today: Jordan, Palestine, Syria, and Lebanon. These four countries make Sham. So these incidents will happen there. It is in one of the entry points to a city referred to as Lud. Isa alayhi salam will meet Masih Dajjal. Because when Isa alayhi salam descends, alayhi salatu wasalam, he's going to perform Salatul Subhi with the Muslims. And he's going to descend having his hands placed upon two angels, on the left and on the right, near a white dome. There are hadiths on these matters. The issue we are dealing with here is to prove that he will come. Because that's what the Imam is saying. That Isa alayhi salam will come, first point. Second point, to establish that he is the one that will kill al-Masih al-Dajjal. So this is where we refer to the problems some of those who make comparative studies have. In the end of their studies, they usually come back and say that they don't believe that Isa alayhi salam would come. It's a very dangerous thing. And most of them, they say that because of their ignorance regarding these matters. There is no apology. About all of them who say these matters, say it because of their ignorance regarding these matters. They are very ignorant regarding them. Most of them are hardly able to correctly read the Quran. All they know is just Bible. So when they try to establish facts of Aqidah in Islam using the Bible. So if you tell them now to establish that Isa alayhi salam will not come, they'll say in Luke chapter 1, verse 1. This is the kind of nonsense they say. But in the Quran, Allah says, فَلَمَّا دُرِبَ إِبْنُ مَرْيَمَ مَثَلًا إِذَا قَوْمُكَ مِنْهُمْ يَسِدُّونَ أَوْ يَسُدُّونَ وَقَالُوا أَآلِهَتُنَا خَيْرٌ أَمْ هُوَ. Allah says, مَا ضَرَبُوهُ لَكَ إِلَّا جَدَلًا بَلْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ خَصِمُونَ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا عَبْدٌ أَنْعَمْنَا عليه وجعلناه مثلا لبني إسرائيل وإنه لعلم للساعة فلا تمترن بها واتبعون. Allah said, فلما ضرب ابن مريم مثلا, بنو قريش, when it is said to them that you are worshipping idols, it's like those who are worshipping Isa alayhi salam. There is no difference between you and they. So they say, ah, balhum ma darabuhu laka illa, they say, well, falamma duriba ibn Maryam masala. When it is told to them that you are worshipping idols and those people worshipping Isa alayhi salam, they have a lot of similarity. He say, Allah says, yasudun, our yasudun, they are going to be shouting, hey, what are you saying? In context, that there is no difference, no. So they are going to say that, A'alihatuna, Allah says, waqalu, they are going to say, A'alihatuna khairun amhu, our gods, the idols that they worship at the time, are they the ones that are better, or Isa alayhi salam? Allah says, ma darabuhu laka illa jadala. They are not bringing these kind of similitudes except to raise arguments, unnecessary arguments. So that if they establish that, oh, okay, it is our idols that are better than Isa alayhi salam, is there a reason to worship idols? So they are just making, so no, our idols are better than Isa alayhi salam. We are better than those people worshipping Isa alayhi salam. Allah says, Balhum qawmun khasimun. They are a group of people that like arguments. In huwa illa abdun, this Isa alayhi salam is just a slave. It's no other than a slave. And amna alayhi, we give him a lot of blessings from ourselves. Waja'alnahu masala li bani Israel. And we made him an example, a similitude for Bani Israel, because nobody ever saw a man who was born without the intervention of a man. A man was born and no male intervention. So it's masala li bani Israel. Allah now said, wa innahu, this Isa alayhi salam, la ilmun lissa'a. In another kira'a, la alamun lissa'a, is one of the signs of the last hour. So Isa alayhi salam, by this verse of the Quran, Allah says, wa innahu la alamun lissa'a. And surely him, Isa alayhi salam, is one of the reasons, one of the antecedents to the coming of the last time. When you see him, you know that the last hour is come. فَلَا تَمْتَرُنَّ بِهَا. So don't deny the last hour. وَاتَّبِعُونَ, follow me, that's follow me Muhammad. Mm-hmm. So this verse clearly makes us understand that Isa alayhi salam shall come. So if someone reads the Bible and say Mark 14 verse 24 proves, and start proving in Mark and Luke and John, to end up in the fact that, in the nonsense that Isa alayhi salam would not come, say to him, Allah says, wa innahu la'alamun lissa'ati fala tamtarunna biha, that Isa alayhi salam is a sign of the last hour. So fala tamtarunna biha, don't deny, don't be in doubt regarding the last hour. Wattabi'un, follow what the Prophet told you in ahadith. That is another way of interpreting that verse of the Quran. Wattabi'un, follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So everything the Prophet told you about Isa alayhi salam, follow him. Everything he told you about the last hour, follow him. Wattabi'un, follow me, obey me. Allah says, obey the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this verse is a clear evidence that Isa alayhi salam shall come. And also the ulama say, the ahadith that discusses the coming of Isa alayhi salam are also mutawatir. Hadith mutawatir. So we have known so many things about hadith mutawatir now. From hadith mutawatir is hadith that establishes azabul qabr ko. From ahadith mutawatir is ahadith that establish ash-shafa'a ko. From ahadith mutawatir are ahadith that establish the coming of Isa alayhi salam. From ahadith mutawatir are ahadith that establishes the coming of who? Al-Masih al-Dajjal. So many things like this. Just be picking them up, the ahadith mutawatir. The ulama say these narrations are mutawatir. A lot of people have reported it in every level of the report that Isa alayhi salam shall appear in the last hour. We'll just read one or two ahadith. And we go ahead, inshallah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi reported the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَقْتُلُ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ الدَّجَّالَ بِبَابِ اللُّدِّ. يَقْتُلُ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ الدَّجَّالَ بِبَابِ اللُّدِّ. The son of Maryam, Isa alayhi salam, will kill Dajjal where? بِبَابِ اللُّدِّ. At a place referred to the gatepost of the city of Lud. Isa alayhi salam will kill Dajjal, and his killing Dajjal will commence from the fact that wherever Dajjal sees Isa alayhi salam, he begins to melt, and as he melts, yes, the Prophet said so, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll read that in one of the hadith. So he will die finally at Babul Lud. Isa alayhi salam will kill him at Babul Lud. That hadith is reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi and Imam Ahmad. The hadith is authentic. In another hadith reported by Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that فَحِينَ يَرَى الْكَذَّابِ يَنْمَاسُ. When Kazab, when he sees the Kazab, he's a very lengthy hadith talking about Isa alayhi salam and his descent. That when the Kazab sees Isa alayhi salam, يَنْمَاسُ كَمَا يَنْمَاسُ الْمِلْحَ فِي الْمَا, he is going to dissolve, يَزُوب in some riwayat. He is going to dissolve, كَمَا يَنْمَاسُ الْمِلْحُ, like the way the salt dissolves in water. Pour salt in the water, see how it dissolves? Or you have a cake of salt, pour it water, you see how it just breaks. And so this is how the Dajjal would. And at that, he will still attempt to run away. Isa alayhi salam will follow him, with those who are behind Isa alayhi salam. They are going to follow him. So, but the final call to be made by Isa alayhi salam, he will kill him. Isa alayhi salam will kill Masih the Dajjal. The fayamshu ilayhi fayaqtuluhu. So فَيَمْشِي إِلَيْهِ إِسَىٰ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. So Isa alayhi salam will walk unto him and kill him. But from the time he begins to see Isa alayhi salam, he begins to melt. He goes to him and kills him. So this establishes the point that had been raised by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal in this matter, that وَأَنَّ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ, and that Isa ibn Maryam, the son of Maryam alayhi salam, may Allah have his mercy upon him, يَنْزِلُ, he will descend. وَيَقْفَيَقْتُلُهُ بِبَابِ اللُّدِ, when he descends, he will kill the Dajjal at a place known as باب اللُّد. So 2 points today, inshallah. The first one, وَالْإِيمَانُ أَنَّ الْمَسِيحَ الدَّجَّالِ, we must believe that الْمَسِيحُ الدَّجَّالِ خَارِجٌ, he will emerge. مَكْتُوبٌ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ, written before his head, between his two eyes, كَافِر, the word كَافِر is written. وَالْأَحَادِيثُ الَّتِي جَاءَتْ فِيهِ, we also believe in the ahadith that have been reported regarding it. وَالْإِيمَانُ بِأَنَّ ذَلِكَ كَائِنٌ, and that we believe that surely this matter shall happen as has been reported in the various narrations. وَأَنَّ إِسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ, we also believe that Isa alayhi salam ibn Maryam, يَنْزِلُ, he shall descend, فَيَقْتُلُهُ, he will kill Masih Dajjal, بِبَابِ اللُّدِ, at a place known as بَابُ اللُّدِ. So when we see those people who deny the descent of Isa alayhi salam, we should tell them and make them understand that if you don't believe in the coming of Isa alayhi salam, your iman is defective. If you don't believe in the coming of Isa alayhi salam, your iman is defective. You don't have complete iman. So this is what we must make the people understand. Aqulu ma aqulu hadha wa astaghfirullahi li wa lakum. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If we have, alaykum salam, I think there's an insect there. If we have one or two questions, alaykum salam. Okay. Someone said that they are innovations. The line people draw in the masjid, is it an innovation or what is it? Well, for clearly is that no one can say that it is sunnah. No one can say that it is sunnah. Because the Prophet built masajid. He built masajid. The first masjid, he built masjid in Quba. He established the masjid. He came to Medina, he established masjid. When he had fatwa over Makkah, he had victory over Makkah. Makkah was reorganized. The Masjid al-Haram was reorganized. He demolished so many things and did so many things. He did not draw lines there. Other masajid, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar in Fath al-Bari made us understand that in the city of Medina at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there are no less than about 20 masajid, apart from the masjid of the Prophet himself. sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there were other smaller masajid. One of them we know is the masjid Ibn Umar referred to when he was talking about making animals to compete. He referred to that masjid as Masjid Bani Zurayk, the masjid of Banu Zurayk. That masjid, we do not have narrations that there were lines on it. So it is expressly difficult for anyone to say that it is sunnah. But the fact that it is difficult for people to say that it is sunnah, it is not expressly a reason to say that it is an innovation. It is not everything that is not sunnah that is an innovation, except if that thing has in itself intrinsically to do with ibadah. Like the mics were not there, so they are not sunnah. Cool. But are they also innovations? Do you understand? No one can say that they are innovations. They will become innovations when they control the act of worship. Their usages will become innovations when they begin to control the act of worship. So when, just want to establish some more on that, Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Abdullah bin Baz was asked, can someone pray using the microphone? He's inside his house and he's praying using the microphone. He said, no, he can't pray like that. Can he pray using the radio? He said, no, he can't pray using those things. He said, if someone has to pray with a masjid, two things has to take place. He has to be able to hear the voice of the imam, considering the fact that a microphone is not used. Do you understand? He has to be at a distance where in his clarity in its pure form, without microphone, if the imam is making his takbirat, he will hear the imam, whether microphone is there or not. First condition. Second condition, if he cannot see the imam, if he cannot hear the imam, he must be seeing any of the rooms that is connected to the masjid. Two conditions. He's either seeing the rooms that is connected to the masjid, or he himself is hearing the imam. But the one who is not seeing the rules and is not hearing the voice, or he cannot, he, even when he hears the voice of the imam, only with the use of a microphone, it is not from it. He will be able to hear the voice of the imam without the microphone. So this makes us understand that, he is making us understand that these things do not have anything to do with our acts of worship. So they will begin to disturb the acts of worship when they are directly linked to the acts of worship. If they are not linked to the acts of worship, and the one who is using them is not thinking that he's hoping to get any reward from Allah, he's just doing it so that to make things easy for himself. Because the deen is easy. Allah didn't establish that the microphones have to be used for his deen to be established. Do you understand? And that's why, well, let me not go to that. I was going to talk about the azan. That the scholars say that when the azan, the one where everyone is, it is obligatory upon people to respond to, is an azan that you can hear at a distance that when the air is still at normal atmospheric temperature and pressure, you can hear the voice of the muazzin without the use of a makbara to sound. This is the position of Imam Shafi, Imam Ibn Qudam al-Muqdasi. This is also the position of Imam Nawawi, that it, when this hadith of anyone who hears the adhan, he's not talking about anyone who hears the adhan, when the voices are supported, that it refers to anyone who hears the adhan with the voice of the muazzin, as it is called, with his voice normally. So it means that even when someone can hear the voices using a microphone, but he's in a place where if the muazzin were not to be using a microphone, he will not hear the voice. It's not binding on him. He goes to the masjid that is closest to him. And by that, you define the kind of masjid where you go to. Do you understand? Except if there are other reasons why you have to go to other masajid. Do you understand other reasons? There are so many other reasons. We are just trying to establish that these things would be becoming problems in themselves when they control our acts of worship. Things like that. So if people think that by so doing they expect to get some rewards from Allah, no. Then it becomes a problem to them. I will not use the word innovation. But it should be becoming a problem to them. Because the Prophet ﷺ will inspect the rules. The first rules, the second rules, and he will tell people to also inspect the rules. Ali radiallahu anhu, one of what he does, he will tell him, inspect the rules. We will inspect the rules. taking time, all the time in the world, to inspect the rules and make sure that the rules are straight. You'll be warning them, no one should scatter the rules in Salah. He said, Man qata'ahu qata'ahu Allah. The one who breaks the rules, may Allah break him off his rahmah. Wa man wasalahu wasalahu Allah. The one who joins the rule, even when the Salah has started, he's still giving them instructions. فَإِنَّ تَصْوِيَةَ الصَّفِّ مِنْ إِقَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ جَنْبًا بِجَنْبٍ. You know, he's giving them instructions. Take this note. If it were permissible, he would have drawn the lines. He would have drawn the... But he took the pains. But people don't like to take the pains now. Look at the Salatul Jum'ah people perform. You see the rows like this. And these dagajis, what are the jobs? The imam himself, does he take time to say, okay, now, the masjid, the rules are straight, let me go out now to inspect other rules. Or, you, I can't go out, there's no space for me to go out. But you, go and inspect the rules. When they are straight, tell me, I'll start Salah. Do we have that? So, Alhamdulillah, when we have it. Alhamdulillah, when it's Ihya al-Sunnah. It's living the Sunnah. So, but these things are rare now. As a shortcut to doing that, something which when they do, they'll be rewarded for every word that they make in keeping the rules straight. Because they are following the Sunnah. It will only be required of them to have ikhlas. And that is, we leave them between Allah for that. But in action, we see that action is good. Rewarding action. So as a shortcut to that, so that now the imam will not do that thing the Prophet does and he gets the reward. Shaitan took that away, because each time people drop a sunnah, they replace it something else. Do you understand? So it is not sunnah. And it should not be in the masajid. It has no basis to be in the masajid. وَلَوْ كَانَ فِيهِ خَيْرًا لَسَبَقُونَا إِلَيْهِ. If there's any goodness in it, they will do it before us. وَلَوْ سَبَقُونَا إِلَيْهِ لَنُكِلَ إِلَيْنَا. If they had done it before, it would have been reported to us. That's this deen. The deen is already established. It's not something new. So don't say that it's a new thing to put the tape on it. No, the deen is there. Allah knew there would be tapes. He did not tell the Prophet, rule the lines. They could have ruled the lines. In other masajid, the companions later could have done it, but they did not do it. So let's not do it too. It's worse in the Salatul Eidain. So you see rows like curves, arcs, like this. And the imams do not care. Oh, he comes there, safu, adereta, adereta. No, it's not suffice. It does not suffice. Practically, inspecting the shoulders, telling the legs. He will even say to them, make sure these rows are straight. Are straight. أَوْ لَيُخَلِّفَنَّ اللَّهُ بَيْنَ وُجُوهِكُمْ. Our Allah will make you hate yourself. What's happening today? He said, make the rules straight. أَوْ لَتُصَوُّنَّ صُفُوفَكُمْ. أَوْ لَيُخَلِّفَنَّ اللَّهُ بَيْنَ وُجُوهِكُمْ. You either make those rules straight, or that Allah causes dissension between you. Look at, he also said, if you keep the rules away, shaitan passes in between. So people are hardly concentrated in their salah. It is worst in the Arab world, Ikhwan, especially in Saudi Arabia. If you touch someone besides you, it pushes you away. Yes, in Medina, of the Prophet. So the sickness is common. So it does not suffice for the Muazzin to be saying, Safu, Safu. There's a masjid somewhere outside here. No. The Imam will say, Safu, 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 Safu. Wa'tadilu. He's looking at us. The legs are not touching the legs. And he still says, Safu. I usually get an eye. What's this? What are you saying? What's the benefit of all this Arabiya you are saying in the microphone? La yusmin wa la yugni min jua. You are looking at it. There are gaps there. You are not telling them, cover this gap. You stretching your legs. You stretching your shoulder. You go back a little bit. You are just saying, hey, Tadilu, on microphone. I think there's a phobia for that. So, it is difficult for anyone to establish that it is from the Sunnah. And it is easier for someone to say that it's an innovation. Allahu Alaikum Assalam.
During your discussion, you said the real Isa alayhi salam will descend from the first heaven. Is it not the sleep of tongues? You said he's going to descend from the first heaven. Because the authentic is in the Abu in the Surah Al-Israel. that the first time was Nabiullah Adam, the second one is Nabiullah Isa and Yahya.
Well, what I can remember now from those ahadith on descent of Isa alayhi salam is his descent from the first heaven. The fact that he was met in the second heaven does not mean that he will not come from the first. And don't forget that the heavens are in tabaqat. They are one above the other. Those hadith in Mi'raj themselves establish that they are one above the other. So how will descend from the second heaven to the earth without descending to the first heaven? Allahu a'lam. Alaykum salam. لا ليس بصحيح. لا يثبت. لا يوجد حديث أو شيء لأن مثل هذا لا بد من الدليل يثبته. فأين هو؟ فكل من ادعى هذا لا بد يعني أن يسأل عن الدليل. Is asking that people say that people will be raised us on the day of Qiyamah in the age of Isa alayhi salam. As a young person, that is the age that he ascended to the heaven, age 33. So that people will be raised in that age on the day of Qiyamah. There is no evidence for that. People say that it's just a statement people make. What's established is that those who will go to Al-Jannah, Allah will change their physique. He will change them, make them look, he will prepare them physically for Al-Jannah. Just like he will also prepare the people of Jahannam physically for Jahannam. So some of them will have their teeth as big as Mount Uhud, the people of Jahannam. And yet they will not fill up Jahannam. The Jahannam will not be filled up. Allah would place his feet upon Jahannam. Allah will place his feet on Jahannam. This is from the Aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah Al-Jama'ah. Allah will ask the fire, you still have spaces? He will ask, are there more? Hal min mazid? You have more? And more will be added. So when the people are added, those who are worthy of being in the hellfire, more of them are added. More of them added. There will still be spaces. And Allah will put his feet on Jahannam because he had promised that they would be filled. He will place his feet on it. But for Al-Jannah, he will bring about creatures that will go to Al-Jannah. He will create more creatures to go to Al-Jannah, to fill up Al-Jannah. Look at his mercy. He could have created creatures to go to Jahannam and suffer, but he died, he will place his feet on the empty spaces. But for Al-Jannah, he will create more people for the enjoyment of Al-Jannah. These narrations are authentic. So he will prepare each group of people for where they are going to. So, but it's not even in that, it's not established that they will be in the age and the stature of Isa alayhi salam. Do you understand? Allahu alam. Alaykum salam.
Some said it's like this, that everything is supposed to be closed, and some said it's like this.
No.
When the Prophet said that he should not allow the shaitan to be in between, that when your toes is like this, that this little space that is there is not what the Prophet means. So I don't know.
Firstly, is that when that is done, the feet will not be facing the Qibla. If the small fingers are put together in an angle, the feet, the implication is that the feet of those whose fingers meet at an angle will not be facing the Qibla. The feet will not face the Qibla. Do you understand? So if the feet will face the Qibla and the shoulders will touch themselves, and the sides of the knees will touch themselves, the legs will face the Qibla, and each person will be standing accordingly. If that is done, the people's shoulders will not touch themselves. Once you do that. Once you do, because people have longer foot than themselves. Some people, their legs, the feet is longer than those of others. So when they are put like that, then each person stands on his own, then you will not have the iltifaq, you will not have the close-up that you would have. So the close-up has not to do with the space is still there. Can take up a whole room, in fact. So the house should be, the shoulder should be closed up, the leg should be closed. These are clear narrations regarding them. I don't think it should bring controversy, even when it is true that people practice this taswiyah to sufu differently. People will say no. Some people put their legs up here. Some people don't even want the legs to touch. They say it means come close to yourself. It doesn't mean close it up. They interpret it and say it means come close. It doesn't mean close it up. So what about the fact that he says man qata'ahu qata'ahu Allah? Do you make cut of something that is not yani muttasil before? Yani say wa man wasalahu. So what do you mean by wusul? He could have said man taqarraba, but he said man wasalahu. Do you understand? It makes us understand that the interpretation is faulty. Allahu a'lam. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك